to the Sick and Successful podcast. If you're a business owner, work in corporate, or have a side hustle you're passionate about, you're gonna wanna stick around. Because I promise to ask the tough questions and talk about the things others shy away from. You know, what it's really like to own a business and be chronically ill. I'm gonna give you that push you need towards following your dreams and be the friend you come back to week after week to talk about the real things in life and in business. If you have goals and are working towards them, if you're determined to be successful, no matter what life's obstacles get in the way, this podcast is for you. Dream big and tune in. Welcome back to the Sick and Successful podcast. This is your host, Natalie Supes. I am so excited to, I say that every time, but I really, really mean it, to introduce today's guest. Her name is Alexa Federico. And we have been online friends literally since like we both started Instagram in 2011 or 2012. Maybe we found each other a little bit later, but we talk about this later in the episode. We were one of the OG chronic illness influencers. I remember finding Alexa like when I first decided to start speaking about my Crohn's disease more online, and she already had an Instagram page all about sharing her journey and nutrition when it came to Crohn's, and we've been friends ever since. Alexa is a nutritional therapy practitioner, so she helps people living with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis with nutrition, but also with lifestyle and so many other things. We talked about in the episode how she is able to support people in changing their life and changing, you know, believing that they have control over their illness, their mindset, stress management, all of that kind of stuff, supplements. She even does blood work, and she is so knowledgeable. She was an author really early on. She has 4 different books, one of which is an ebook. And she just, like, everything about her inspires me and motivates me and makes me want to help with my own nutrition, even though I used to do that in the past. I'm so honored to have Alexa on the podcast. I can't believe she hasn't been on the podcast before. And I think, like, that is my apologies to all of you of keeping her a secret, because she should have been on here a million times over. But maybe because I am such a fangirl of her, I haven't brought her on yet. She's just, like, everything about her. Make sure you check out the show notes below, because her website is there. Her Instagram information are there. And without further ado, welcome to the podcast, Alexa. Let's get into it. So to get started, I'd love to know what was that like getting diagnosed with Crohn's disease and then deciding you wanted to go from being a teacher to actually helping people with Crohn's or with IBD and nutrition and all that stuff? Like, how did you transition and figure out what your life path is?
Yes, it was a bit of a difficult transition mentally. I actually made the choice kind of abruptly. I knew it was the right thing to do, but it was a little bit heartbreaking to make that choice. So I was someone who thought I knew exactly what I wanted to do. Like, from a very young age, I was a child who knew I wanted to be a teacher. That was just part of my identity almost.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was. I always played school. I had, my room was full of teacher supplies. Like, it felt like my destiny. And then getting diagnosed at 12 really changed things. Wow. I had ups and downs throughout middle school, high school, and college. When I did my student teaching in college, I had control over a classroom of 5th graders for a couple of weeks. And I loved that experience, but it was also taking a toll on my health. And that's when I had that light bulb moment of, if, you know, a year from now, I've got my own classroom, I've graduated, and this is what I'm doing, and this is how I feel, I'm going to feel pretty miserable, not because I don't like the work, but because this is actually a lot more exhausting on my body than I ever imagined. I did graduate, and I got my degree in licensure and teaching, and I couldn't make myself start to seek a job. I just knew that it was going to be too much. So I took that year off after I graduated to kind of figure it out. And I didn't have nutrition in my mind yet. I just had this gut feeling that something that maybe was remote or semi-remote and was going to be a good fit for me would come about. And it was less than a year later that I ended up finding the nutrition program I ended up going through. It was a great fit. It was perfect, just what I was looking for. And kind of the rest is history, but I seemed to just stumble upon it and signed up for the next round of students, and the rest is history. So it was a decision I had to make because I didn't want to sign myself up for disappointment and exhaustion. And I just had to trust that something better fitting for me was around the corner.
Well, there's so much to that. Like, first of all, I don't think we've ever had anyone on the podcast who's been diagnosed so early, especially with something like Crohn's or IBD or, you know, like completely life-changing. So I want to get into that a little bit. But that kind of, I mean, I think, you know, as someone with the disease for a long time, like there are blessings. I saw it even on your website, but I think that's kind of even like a blessing that you got that versus like, I was diagnosed right at the beginning of university and I didn't have much time to think about like, well, how is my career going to affect my life choices? Cause it was the same thing happening at once. So it's cool that you were able to actually step back and be like, oh shoot, this isn't going to be something that I can do on a day-to-day basis. Cause I think so many people who get diagnosed, you know, in their late 20s or whatever, they're already mid-career and struggle so hard with now what? So that's really interesting. And I love that you changed it into helping others. So you took the nutrition course right off the bat. Did you think you were going to help people with IBD, or you thought it was going to be more broad?
Yeah, I was pretty focused on IBD. Because I had, for fun, you know, been doing the Instagram thing and blogging a lot of my own personal stuff, the food I like to eat and health tips and things like that, totally all for fun. So I was already speaking to that community because I was already in it. It felt very natural to want to cater to the IBD and overall autoimmunity and gut health community. So it definitely was a fit, and I knew I wanted to do that. I knew I wanted to work for myself from the get-go. Yeah, they did have an idea, I think.
So cool. And it's crazy to me that you haven't been on the podcast yet. I actually asked Alexa before getting on, like, you must have been on at the beginning, no? I feel like we were the OG, like, IBD influencers. There wasn't anybody posting about it when we were posting about it. It was you and me. I literally think so. And, like, maybe a couple other people I can think about where now it's flooded, which is awesome. But back in, like, I mean, I started posting on Instagram in 2011-ish, but really about Crohn's 2017, I think. What about you?
Yeah, so I created this food business account in 2012, I believe. It definitely took many turns and it didn't look the same, but I was talking about food for Crohn's on that account way back then. But yes, I can remember that era of Instagram and the influencers, which that wasn't even a real term for what we're speaking of at the time, was such a small group of us. Yeah, it was you and I, and there's a couple others I can think of, but the way Instagram was like so small at the time is just so funny to look back on.
It's interesting how different it was, because like, I feel like it was easier for people to find us then, maybe because we were the only ones talking about it. Yeah, it's just so interesting to think back. I'm in a point in my life where like, I'm writing a book called Sick and Successful, and I'm excited to talk about your books, but I think you understand this too, because you're in remission as well, where it's a point where like when you're in remission for so long, I mean, I don't know if I'm fully in remission because I still have some symptoms and my colonoscopies don't say I'm remission, but like comparatively to how I was when I was posting, when you're in remission or you're not dealing with the disease as actively as I did when it was easier to post every day, it's kind of harder for me to have the vulnerability in the posts that I was able to back then. How do you navigate that now that you've, like, even in, we have a survey before anyone comes on the podcast, for those of you that don't know, but I noticed in the survey that you said no longer sick. It kind of like sparked something in me because I'm like, well, you have a chronic illness. Aren't you still sick? But so yeah, explain.
Yes. So yeah, I want to speak to like showing up and sharing the vulnerability and speaking of being sick when I'm not really in that zone. It's been something that's been on my mind, I will be honest, and I haven't figured it all out, but I've noticed, because it's clear and obvious, that there's been such a change in my content and how I come up and chat and just appear on Instagram, for example, where I mostly am, because there were times when my health was in a lot more of a tricky place. And I was talking about my health more because it was so relevant and lots of people could connect to it. And it made me feel good to share it and support. You know, it's been very different because sometimes I'm unsure of how to talk about my story now when I don't have a lot of exciting things to share because things are kind of normal and in maintenance mode, which is great. But I also still want to speak to those people who do relate to what I've gone through, because I know that is so meaningful for them and for me to connect with them. So I will say it's been an interesting journey of figuring out this like chapter. It's been 4 years of clinical, or actually 5 of clinical remission.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you, which is so incredible. And so, yeah, I think I've just navigated it by sharing how, you know, your health journey could turn for the better and all of the good that can come out of making those hard decisions and within your health, which I've had to make money to get here. And always just reminding people that I'm not perfect and my health is great, but I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
And just bringing it back to that, because I think it is easy to look at anyone on Instagram and think, I wish that was me, or I wish it was as easy for me. And I don't want it to ever get lost that it's been a journey to get here.
Yeah.
Still actively, I have to be really intentional to keep it here.
Yeah, I think we've both gone through those phases on social media or Instagram where it's like, I stopped posting for a good amount of time, like really for like a year or two about anything, because it was just so hard for me to relate, or I didn't know what content to post. It kind of feels like both you and I have found our place, not that it's figured out fully, but in motivating those of us that, or those that are in those places of darkness where we were. Even with writing my book, and I laugh with my group about this, it's so much easier for me to write the fun stuff, which to me is like the medical trauma and like the things that are so far away. I can write that like it's no tomorrow, because it feels like a different lifetime. But now I'm in the portion of my successful a book, like I'm writing Sick and Successful. It's literally two parts. And I'm having so much trouble voicing it and writing it because I'm in that portion of my life. So it's pretty interesting to see like even how social media works for us chronic illness influencers, or whatever you're going to call it, because there's so many ebbs and flows and turns. And a lot of the times people do come to us when they're at their lowest. And I would love to know how, because when I did nutrition coaching for like a year, maybe, I quickly transitioned out of it because I struggled so hard with taking on everybody's diseases and like just how low it can get. And then also like the DMs that are 70 pages long, where someone's confiding in you and like, that feels so good, but also you're not a doctor. And also like, there's a lot of trauma in the DMs. How do you navigate that? And how have you for so long?
Great, great questions. Another thing that's kind of, I've got my strategies, but always it's kind of fluid and trying to figure out as we go. That is such a real thing. I think a lot of people with chronic illness and autoimmunity like tend to be empaths and people who tend to take on that. So it's even trickier for that reason. I will say I have a bit of a hard time for those reasons to kind of put it aside, but I have to remind myself that I am a piece of support in someone's life. I am a part of their team. I can't take on every pitfall, every struggle, or even if something is not going perfectly while they're working with me, I can't let that take me down, because yeah, I need to be the one with the clear head and the plan. And I know firsthand that things ebb and flow. There are ups and downs. So I really just have to remind myself and take more of a logical stance when I want to be so much in my emotions and hold on to those difficult things, and just keep the timeline in my mind and remember where I fit in their life. And it's not their savior. It's not the one person that's going to save their life. And I think it's easy when you're in this position of helping someone who feels so failed by that I have to do this. I have to get this person from A to B. And I've definitely had that mindset. Like, I can be the one, I can do it. And we've certainly done lots of good work, you know, within my clients, but you can't take on the perspective of you're their savior, because it's eventually going to be too much of a burden. Right?
Yeah.
You help facilitate. I help facilitate that healing and guide them on that journey and be there for education and support. But the moment I start to think, I've got to do this, I have to be the one to save them, it's too much of a responsibility, and it's not something any human can live up to.
No, literally.
Job, right?
And you can only bring a person to water, like you can't make them drink. And that's kind of the realization I had at the end was, number one, did I already have Alicia? I was about to have her. It was 2020 when I stopped for sure. But I remember like trying to help them with their marriage, trying to help them with their work, like on the calls, on my one-on-one calls. And then I had this one client who just wouldn't do any of the nutrition advice, but yet complained every week that like it wasn't working, but she hadn't implemented anything. And I was finding myself getting sicker and sicker and like not enjoying coming to the calls. And I'm like, this wasn't meant for me. I don't have enough education, because at the point I finished holistic health coaching program, but I felt like I needed so much more to be able to support in that area. Mm-hmm. So I left it to experts like you and went on maternity leave and never went back to the holistic health coaching. But I remember also myself finding someone online. And I think this is where a lot of clients come from, or people with IBD who find like a health coach, and why they feel like it's okay to give over all that trauma. But I remember finding someone online, and she was promoting herself at the time of when we were posting on social media as like the health fitness coach for people with IBD, because she had IBD. And I found her, and she had a couple YouTube videos, and she was like a fitness person doing workout shows and stuff like that. And I think she pretty quickly transitioned out of saying that as well. But at the time, she was still saying it. And I hired her, and she gave me no one-on-one support. She gave me like a blank, very obviously the same nutrition plan she gives everybody else for lifting shows. And I'm like, huh? What? I thought you were going to, like, you were it. I was going to give you all my money. It was like, that was the outlet, right? So it's such a tough place to be. And I really admire you. Like, I love watching your content, because it even inspires me as someone who was a health coach, but like the eating situation has always been a thing for me. That's a whole nother thing, where it feels like a full-time job. Food feels like a full-time job. I do want to circle back to getting diagnosed so young. Like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, it was shocking, because I had a really normal childhood with a safe, stable family, and I didn't have any other injuries or illnesses. I never even had an ear infection. I mean, like, I was a pretty healthy kid. It was surprising. Neither my siblings nor any cousins had been diagnosed with anything chronic at that point. So it was strange. I remember, and I think my timeline was a few months of symptoms until I got my diagnosis. And so, yeah, it was strange things happening, like digestive stuff and fatigue and losing weight and just being really small and cold because I wasn't keeping food down, was anemic. So I was having all of these things. And I can just remember so many times, like being in my basketball game and my knees hurting because of the joint pain and strange things that a 12-year-old shouldn't be experiencing. Yeah. And my mom, who is a nurse, and she is still a nurse, so obviously she has an extra special eye for caretaking, and just being my mom, obviously noticed all of this, saw it wasn't normal. Like a good parent, brought me to our pediatrician several times, and both medical doctors and nurse practitioners turned me away.
Were you on the rice diet or the brat diet? That's what happened to me.
I honestly don't even recall that many diet changes, because my mom would have even implemented that if they had given me something. I don't recall them giving me any dietary advice. I don't remember any blood work being drawn. They didn't do any scans. I was turned away. I remember my mom asking, like, her nails beds get blue really easily, and a doctor saying, she's a skinnier girl, like she's gonna get colder, you know, easier than other kids. That was the response. It's just crazy. It was insane. Eventually, unfortunately, and what it happens to a lot of people is I just got sick enough. I had lost too much weight. The symptoms were getting out of control, where eventually one of the pediatricians said, here's a referral to a pediatric gastroenterologist, where he saw me and said, oh, you need to be admitted right now. This is really severe. And then I was in the hospital for almost 2 weeks. So yeah, there's that disconnect. And that was shocking to me, because I'd only ever been to the doctor for well visits, and that's really it.
Yeah.
I love going to the doctor, but I didn't have any horrible experiences. And so this started this like unveiling of what our system is built on and what it's like. And I, there are so many touch points from that age through my early 20s when I would be in the care of someone who is like, it felt like my lifeline. When you're struggling and desperate, it's like, you have the answers. I need you to help me. Then to be dismissed or turned away or really not heard.
Not listened to.
Times, yes, not listened to is the most discouraging, disheartening experience. So it clearly left not great taste in my mouth about how healthcare is here.
And it's not healthcare, it's sick care.
Exactly. It is sick care because there is nothing about this process that helps to prevent health issues. It's reactive.
Yep.
And all it does is try to stifle symptoms when they've gotten to a bad point. But there were no preventative measures when I was beginning to show symptoms, even if it wasn't suspected as an autoimmune condition. You know, nothing.
Prednisone? Did they put you on prednisone right off the bat?
Once I was diagnosed, yes. Yeah. Once I got into the hospital, prednisone was the first thing probably that we did.
Yeah.
And all the tests, scans, the blood tests, all of those things, the scope, the biopsy. And I had, at the time I was diagnosed as moderate to severe Crohn's disease. They basically just told me like, wherever you can have it from top to bottom of digestion, you pretty much do have it.
Wow.
So I always think, not always, but something I've thought about is if it was caught sooner, you know, probably wouldn't have progressed so much over those few months. And I maybe would have had an easier time adjusting. So that's like the medical, emotional, traumatic side with the medical system. I was really lucky to have a supportive family and friends as well. So the whole social aspect, I felt I was really cushioned. I was really well
that's
cushioned.
Awesome.
I'm so lucky because I was 12. That's grade 6, 7, and 8 here is middle school, which is like so transformative. And everyone's comparing body image and you're going through puberty and you want to look a certain way and feel a certain way. And there were many times where I was so skinny that you could tell something was wrong. I felt like I looked like a boy versus my friends that were going through puberty and all of that. But I did not experience any bullying. I didn't have any friends leave my side or stop friendship during this time. And that really made all the difference. Anything I was uncomfortable about, they made it normal and didn't create a big thing about it. So that support, obviously support and community is so important, but that got me through those adolescent years for sure. Yeah.
And so at that moment of diagnosis, did the doctor say like nothing you can do, medicine's the only way?
Essentially. I remember the only dietary advice they advised, and I saw this a few years ago still on a handout for IBD, was just like, eat white bread, white grains versus whole grains, and eat poultry and not red meat. You might need to do lactose-free dairy. And that was really it. So I went home and I did lactate ice cream without the lactose in it, and I had chicken tenders every time I went out to eat. I didn't have pizza or anything cheesy, but I had tons of chicken tenders and other kid foods. I had sandwiches on Wonder Bread. I was eating Rice Krispies because those were still a safe snack compared to what they said I wasn't allowed to eat. So it was still a lot of standard American diet things. And the things they said could be problematic in my perspective now as nutritionists are just so misleading and not helpful whatsoever. You know, I was still eating things that were damaging to my gut, which is why I continued to get very sick for a little over another year and had more hospitalizations, because when I would come off the prednisone, that was the diet I was eating.
Yep.
And of course, we didn't talk about supplements either or anything anti-inflammatory. So I just fell right back into the cycle, got sick again. And my parents were just scratching their head because they felt, how could food not be a piece in this?
Exactly. My mom too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They knew. I mean, it's digestion. So that was confusing to them. And the fact that they were being so regimented with me, we were doing the medications, we were avoiding any of the food triggers they said could be a problem, but really weren't the main issue, at least. And it wasn't showing any results. So something had to give, something had to be missing here. And it was about 16 months after that diagnosis, 3 hospitalizations and 3 rounds of prednisone, that we entered into a functional medicine.
Oh, cool.
Practice. And that was life-changing. But it was a really difficult first year being diagnosed and being continually sick and tired. And again, doing all the right things, but having nothing to show for it.
Yeah. My hard-headedness kept that 18 months for you to 10 years for me, because doctors said, there's nothing you can do. And no matter how hard my mom tried or brought me to naturopaths or whatever she tried, Chinese medicine doctors, I remember like drinking this nasty stuff, everything, she tried everything. My hard head was like, doctor said, there's nothing I can do. Aren't doctors right? So for so long, until I found fitness for myself as a vanity thing, because I was always overweight, even with my Crohn's as bad as it got, I was overweight. And I drank like cups and cups and cups of milk a day, which, oh my God, that makes my stomach just turn right now. But it wasn't until I found fitness literally for it to lose weight. And I was like, what? Huh? Like, oh, I don't feel as bad, or, you know, things like that. And then I ended up in the hospital and went on Humira and then gained back the weight really quickly. Like I had side effect of Humira, where I gained, I think, around 60 pounds or even more than that within a few months. And so I went like strict nutrition for the first time in my life, no sugar, and was in remission for the first time since diagnosis over 10 years later. That's like one of the things I preach and I talk about as much as I can, is like, doctors aren't gods. And I wish I wasn't so stubborn and realized that earlier. And it's also, I guess, the age where I was diagnosed, where I was like going on to be, you know, on my own. Like, you don't have to come to every appointment with me, mom. I got this. I'm 20, right? Like, or I'm 19 or whatever. Yeah. So looking back, it's like, oh boy, I wonder what I would have been like if I could have found something earlier on. And not that, I mean, chronic illness is still a chronic illness, but who knows, right? When you go back that far.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I have to say too, the first several years of my living with Crohn's, I followed the direction from my functional medicine doctor, and he was a wonderful guy and still is. But I dragged my feet, taking my supplements, eating my special way, because I knew it made me feel better. And I still wanted to eat what my friends were eating. I still wanted to go back to that. So I didn't appreciate it for several years, but I did it begrudgingly and because my parents were holding me to it. So even though I did feel the positive impacts, I didn't actually see the light and like how amazing that what I put in my body can actually make me feel better. So it definitely took maturing till I got to college to actually appreciate it and be in the mindset of, oh, this is actually like a superpower. This is actually a cool thing that the way I live my life actually can make me feel better. And that's
feel better, not just like symptom wise, but mental wise and everything else as well. Yeah. Tell me about writing your first book, The Complete Guide to Crohn's Disease and Ulcerative Colitis, A Roadmap to Long-Term Healing.
Yeah, so I wrote this book several years ago now. It's been like 7 years. And I know, I can't believe
you must have been so, how young were you?
I was young. I had to be like 23.
Early 20s. Yes, girl. Early 20s. That's amazing.
22. And I wanted to create a resource that would have been a lifesaver for me at the time when I was diagnosed. It was the missing piece. So I wrote this guidebook, not to be a prescriptive, like today I would love to write another book and make it be more detailed with protocols and direction. I was a new NTP, a new nutritionist at the time, and I wanted to create something more broad. So I call it a roadmap, because in it, I talk about different strategies and different pieces of healing. Lifestyle things, supplements, diet. I even talk about the different medications out there too. And I wanted to create something that let someone be aware of all of the possibilities, or many of them, and different choices they could make and decide what's right for them. Because I felt like I went into Crohn's really not knowing this whole world of diet and supplements and root cause healing. And I only saw the medication route because that's all that was given to me. So I wanted to give someone in my, you know, position of when I was starting this with everything that they could possibly consider, and then see what speaks to them, you know, what different modalities make sense for them, the reader. And from there, at least they have the awareness, and then they can take autonomy and run with it and decide what they want to do.
So cool. And then your other books, is there two more?
Yes. I ended up writing a poetry book a few years ago. It was a bit of a therapeutic kind of soul project. It's not directly connected to my Crohn's book, but it does reflect a lot on experiences I had emotionally from the Crohn's journey. So it was a really healing project for me. And then I created a 90-day journal that is also on Amazon, and it's just a fillable journal for 90 days. And it's supposed to be like a whole body, whole life, create your goals and work on them for 90 days tool. But most recently I created an ebook, and that is very IBD specific. And it's a perfect pairing with that first roadmap book for IBD. The ebook is strictly about food. So whereas I don't go into specific food protocols in my first book, this ebook is a good complementary pair because I do talk about food. And I say, if you're flaring, this is what is great to eat. When you're starting to get better, include these foods. And when you're on top of the world and thriving and reaching remission or getting close, this is what your diet could look like. So it's also a tool I wish I had, because there's so much gray area in health with IBD. Like we spoke about it. Am I in remission? Am I not? Is this a flare? Is this just a fluke? It's so hard to tell. And it's almost impossible, like, for me to even say for anyone.
And even like my definition of remission for myself and my doctor's definition for myself and your definition for me would all be different. So
it's not black and white, which makes it tricky.
Yeah.
But hopefully this ebook is helping people out there just navigate. Okay, I think I'm more, I basically created three names for three different seasons of health: flaring, healing, and thriving is what I called them. So, you know, someone who has the ebook could kind of determine, oh, I think I'm still in this flaring stage. I should start with this meal plan and then work my way up the ladder.
That is so cool. What a cool place to start. Tell me what it's like to work with you. So what one-on-one stuff do you have? Do you have group stuff? How can people work with you?
Yes, the main offering I have is my one-on-one services. So that's what I've been doing since I became an NTP. And I still love that. The way it works is I work with new clients who have IBD for 3 months at a time. I help create small actionable goals for them to work on over the 3 months with their big end goals in mind for their health improvements, things they want to achieve in life. And it's all focused on diet, lifestyle changes, and supplements. I also draw blood work, so I use some lab data as well to guide my protocols for them. But it is lots of one-on-one, lots of hand-holding, support, resources, accountability for anyone wanting to take the next step in a more functional whole body healing approach as a piece to their, you know, their overall wellness plan. Yeah. And then last year I created a self-paced course called Functional IBD Healing, and I am opening that quarterly. So it just opened in February for the first time in 2024. It'll open again, I think, in June. I haven't solidified the dates, but I think in June we'll do another launch, and then again in the fall, and then before the year ends. So that's something where I put all the principles of what I work with clients one-on-one into an online self-guided course for someone who wants to do the work entirely on their own time.
That's amazing. Are you open to chatting about, like, what does the price start at approximately for one-on-one, and same for the group?
Yes, exactly. So for one-on-one, it is $14.99 for the 3 months. I do have different pricing for anyone international because I include my labs in that pricing, and I can't order labs, my blood labs internationally. So for US, it's $14.99. For outside the US, it'd be $11.99. And my course is $4.17.
Wow, that's super reasonable. Like, for all the work you do, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And like, that's super affordable for someone who's just coming into it and maybe in the States having to pay for medication or whatever. Like, that's such a low investment comparative to what you'll end up investing in a chronic illness over time.
That's how I see it too. I mean, last year, 2 years ago, I needed a CAT scan and it was the price of my program. And I'm like, what did I get out of that? You know, nothing. But my hope is to instill empowerment and all the tools in my clients and in my students. Yeah. The program, so that beyond their time with me, they can take that for years and bring that knowledge with them, so it's long lasting.
I love that so much. That's so cool. Anything else you want to share with our audience or chat about?
Oh, I think something I always like to end with is just being open-minded. If you're on a health journey, being open-minded to things playing out a different way than you expected could really make all the difference. So don't be rigid and your beliefs about health or what your body's capable of. I think just being open-minded, and if you're in a tough place, know that your highest of highs could be right around the corner. I've been there with low lows and high highs right after each other. So be open-minded, be positive, know that your time to shine could just be right around the corner. So just keep being open to different ways to approach your health, and you will find your secret sauce that does that for you.
I love this so much. And it's been a long time coming. Like, we've been online friends for so long, but I never had you on the podcast, which is crazy. So thank you so much for being here today.
It's been so fun.
We will link all your links down below. Like you said, you hang out most on Instagram, but your website and everything else will be in the show notes below. And make sure you go follow Alexa because their information and just like your posts are so inspiring. And I'm excited that you're posting again.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Remember, dream big. It's possible for you, and your next version of success is around the corner. Mwah.